It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, it is a good life today, and I trust that you're having a good day. Now, you may be listening to this at night. I hope you're having a good night as well. Well, today, or tonight, you've probably seen some of those commercials on television about, you send in so much money and they're going to tell you how to be a success in your life. Well, they're going to build you up, and for so much money, they'll help you be a success. Well, today I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to ask you for money or anything like that, but I want you to look at a subject that is somewhat different. I'm titling this Success in Failing. Well, I don't think I would get a lot of money sent to me if I advertised something like that, but I want to look today, and by the time we're finished with this, I believe you'll know exactly what I'm speaking about. Well, have you ever heard of anybody talking about being a successful failure? Well, many people fail in life, but it's much better to be a successful failure. And if you're going to do something, you need to do it right. If you're going to be a failure, you might as well go ahead and do it right. And today we're going to look at that in the book of Luke. And we're going to see some other scriptures as we move along in our subject today. Well, let's look at something that I believe is something that many people overlook, is once again how to be a successful failure. Let's look at some of the people who were failures in the Bible. First, I see John the Baptist. Now in Mark chapter 1, it tells us that John was clothed with camel's hair. And what a picture that would be. You might say that he had on designer clothes, and I wouldn't want to wear those clothes, but I understand that camel's hair is quite stiff. And here was a man who wore camel's hair for his clothing. And that verse also says in Mark chapter 1 that he ate locusts and wild honey. Well, you know, there's a fellow on TV as well who eats strange foods. He's a weirdo, and so would John the Baptist be considered a weirdo in his day. And let me tell you, I don't look forward and really don't want to eat any locusts. Well, the honey wouldn't be so bad, but I wouldn't want to eat the locust. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible tells us something that took place. He might have been a weirdo, this is John the Baptist, but in Mark chapter 1 and verse 9, it tells us that he baptized Jesus. Here was a man who was a successful failure. First of all, we see that he did not have what the world would consider proper clothing or proper food to eat. And then in John chapter 10 and verse 41, it said in that verse that John did no miracle. He wasn't an outstanding person as far as the world was concerned. But in John chapter 10, verse 42, that verse says that many believed. He may not have been what the world thought as an outstanding person, but the Bible tells us that he preached the word of God. And because he did that, many believed. Let's move along now in Matthew chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. We read about how that John went to a certain person, and he had told him that it was wrong for him to do a certain thing. In Matthew 14, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her." What a fuddy-duddy. When we think of John, we think of an old fuddy-duddy, a person who stood for right and wrong. How many people do that today as you look around? People would consider him a fuddy-duddy. We see people who would say, well, if it feels good, do it. If your conscience doesn't come in, you go ahead and do it. But John said it was wrong, according to the word of God, for this man to have his brother Philip's wife. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 10, we see that, let's look back in Matthew 14 and verse 3 first. Herod put him in prison. Now John's a jailbird. not only is he a fuddy-duddy, but now he becomes a jailbird that was put in jail for standing up for what is right. John would not compromise. He stood. He was a successful failure in the sight of the world. Not only that, in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 10, he says, it says there Herod beheaded John in prison. Not only was he a jailbird, but Herod went ahead and cut his head off. He was executed. Why was he executed? He was executed because he stood up for what was right. And yes, by God's standards, John was a successful failure in the sight of the world, but he was a success with God. By the world's standards, John was a failure, but in God's sight, he was a success. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 28, Jesus said, for I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. John was a successful failure in the sight of the world, but he was a great success in the sight of God. Why was John a successful failure? First, I see that according to verse 15 of Luke chapter 1, the Bible says, therefore he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to be able to do the work of God. And the second reason I believe that John was a successful failure is because in verse 16, it tells us that he was a soul winner. In verse 16 of Luke chapter 1, it says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. John was a successful failure because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a successful failure because he was a soul winner. How about you, Christian? Are you leading others to the Lord? Are you like John? Are you taking a stand for the Lord? Are you soul winning? Are you telling others about Jesus that they can be saved by trusting him? Now, you're not going to save them. Jesus is the one who saves them. You're an instrument. You're an ambassador for God if you've been saved. And you simply give out the word. I say simply, for some, that is so hard that they don't want to do it. They do not do it. But what we do is present God, Jesus Christ, through the Scriptures. Well, John also had a deep conviction. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 10, it tells us that he died for his convictions. There's not many of us today who would lay down our lives for our Lord. And that's sad, because we see a man, John the Baptist, who was a successful failure because he would lay down his life for his Lord. John chapter 3 and verse 3 teaches us that John was a humble person. John said of Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. The fifth thing that I see the reason that John was a successful failure is because he was willing to pay the price. He didn't quit when the going got tough or rough. He kept on going, although he was clothed in camel's hair and had to eat locusts and wild honey, all these things that came upon him, he kept the faith. He even had his head cut off. That's when he quit. But you know, he really didn't quit, because we're still reading about him today. We're reading about the testimony that John left in this world. He was a successful failure. Well, the next person that I see who was a successful failure was Simon Peter. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, Jesus told Peter, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And of course, this was fulfilled in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, where it says that about 3,000 souls were added to the church that day on the day of Pentecost. And in the same chapter, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, some of the places we've been reading today in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He was speaking to Peter. And Jesus is telling Peter, first of all, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. And then he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, this rebuke, according to Matthew chapter 17 and verses 1 through 3, and we see how there was Elijah and Moses appeared with Jesus, and we understand that was called the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, what did old Peter do? He stuck his foot in his mouth again. He said, Lord, It's good for us to be here. Let's build thee a temple. Let's build three temples, three tabernacles, he said. Let's build one for you. Let's build one for Moses, and let's build one for Elijah. Well, he put his foot in his mouth again when he said that, because he was saying in part that Elijah and Moses were just as important as Jesus. We know that's not true. Then in verses 5 and 6 of Matthew chapter 17, it tells us that the voice of God was praising Jesus there, and the three disciples were afraid, according to verse 7. But you know, Jesus said as he touched them, he said, "Arise, be not afraid." And Peter was a successful failure. He was always doing something wrong, but the Lord knew that he was going to be a successful failure. He would be a successful failure in the sight of the world, but in the sight of God, he would be a great success. But what about Jesus? He was a successful failure as well. We see as he went to the cross, he was beaten, he was scourged, he was maligned, he was mistreated. He suffered more than any person has ever suffered in this world, according to the Word of God. And as people looked on him, they said, "Now, this surely couldn't be the Son of God, because he would call and ask the angels to take him down from the cross, that they would take him immediately to heaven." Well, they would heal him according to what people said, and if he were the Son of God. But Jesus hung on that cross, and as the world looked on, they had the idea, and they still do today, that he was a successful failure. Why? Because in the sight of the world, Jesus failed. But in the sight of God, Jesus is a success. In the sight of those who have trusted him as Savior, he is a great success, because he is the only way to heaven. He's the one who came to seek and to save those who were lost. And how about you today? How can you be a successful failure? First, you need to make God the Lord, the controller of your life. Then, after making him Lord, you need to be faithful to him. And the most important way to be a successful failure is to make sure Jesus is your Savior. Have you trusted him? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I know I can't save myself. Please save me so I can go to heaven. I receive you as my Savior. As best I know how, Lord, I want to receive you as my Savior today. I know I can't save myself, and I'm willing to turn as much as possible, Lord. You have to do it, Lord, because I know that I can't take away the sin, but you can turn it. You can take it away when you come into my heart." And you know, someone does that, Jesus doesn't say if he will come in. He says, "I will come in if you will trust me." Ask him to come into your heart today, and he will receive you if you will receive him. Have a personal relationship with him today by asking him to be your Savior. And saved person, are you a successful failure for Jesus? You can be a successful failure by standing up for him and proclaiming him as the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost, to save people from their sin.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.